Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. We've got a lot of content to go through. I hope you're probably all hanging on the edge of your seat for some of the stuff that I still need to go through. But before I go through that, I need to get through the obligatory stuff. So let me just move on here. Not only is this show sponsored by MobiusStripPress.com, that's where you can get my books, and that's where you can find some of my content. But the majority of the content regarding Reclaiming the Republic would be on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. And so ReclaimingTheRepublic.org also sponsors this show, as well as 1798 Part 2, as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show. I am the only host that actually is willing to open up, the psyche or the, you know, I'm willing to expose ideas and myself to the constitutional premise and theory, literally, of a limited and defined government, that the states are the sovereigns. These are paradigms that the framers had. And so this is the only show where somebody's actually willing to step forward and actually take the bold move of providing tangible solutions to this quagmire of federal tyranny. I mean, we've been living under federal tyranny for so long. It is just like, it's like the, you know, it's as dependable as the sun coming up almost every day. I mean, if you live in a hole, you may not know that, but the sun does come up every day. And for those who live in, you know, the Pacific Northwest, where they don't even see the sun, they do realize that it does get light where they can, you know, kind of actually come out of their holes. Anywho, the number to call in is 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK. I want to kind of plug once again, if you want to listen to my conversation with Thumper on the We the People 24/7 Patriot Soapbox this last Sunday, that audio and video is available on YouTube, and the link to it is on my Reclaiming the Republic Red State Talk radio podcast page on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. As you know, this show is really focused and dedicated on state sovereignty and the state's ability and authority, and actually they possess everything they need to be able to stand up and reel in the federal government and get back into the framework of the Constitution that the framers had established. I'll go one step further. We say that the framers established this, but what did the framers say? I dare you read Washington's first proclamation for Thanksgiving, a unanimous request by Congress to recognize the divine hand of providence in establishing this Constitution. There's no doubt they all claimed, those who participated in the convention and the process, they all claimed that the divine hand of providence was with them, inspired them, and that this Constitution was established by him. So anyway, that's why we're really focused on the states, and that's why the states actually possess all the authority. The framers made sure of that. In addition to some of these obligatory comments, as you know, I do have that video out there that's on the Take Action page. If you've not watched it, then I would highly recommend that you go and access it, take a gander at it. I did notice the other day that YouTube had disabled my Reclaiming the Republic channel on YouTube. And I know I don't sell that channel a lot, but if you want to start getting updates, whether podcasts or snidbits, because the guy that runs that, it's technically not me, but it's a guy that, you know, completely believes in the Audit and Republic Review. You should subscribe so that when he puts up these highlights of these shows and so forth, gold nuggets, he likes to call them, then you'll actually get, you know, information as a subscriber. Hey, this has been posted. if you've got an RSS feed set up. So anyway, I would highly recommend that you need to do that, because then you'll understand at the ground level what really Republic Review is and the academic argument that supports it. I also need to point out that we do have crowdfunding, that everything that I am doing is, I can't subsidize the war. George Washington couldn't subsidize the war. I do need help. I will assure you that we put out exactly what we spent. If you want to see the receipts, we did go to Wyoming. I had myself and two others go with me, one to video capture and do all of that stuff. And thank you so much, JC, for all of that support. And MC was out there to basically start networking and start meeting people and how to engage and work with them. And we're having great success. We need to get out there. They're having another meeting this weekend, and I won't be able to be there just because the cost. I mean, there is a complete prohibition. If I have to spend a few thousand dollars every other month, I just can't do that, and I need some help. And it's humbling to be able to state that. I know the good Lord has blessed me with a lot of different insights that most people have never garnered, and I think that a lot has to do with my analyst background, my engineering background, and so forth. And so anyway, it's really not about me. It's about us. It's about, you know, if you want to become a part of the team, if you live in a dark red state like the Dakotas or somewhere else, then reach out. You can be me in that state. It's just a matter of completely understanding this premise. This is not my premise. I always tell people, you know, I may have came up with this completely on my own, kind of in a vacuum. But as I really started reading and discovering how I had understood certain things, like the resolutions of Kentucky and Virginia, I'm telling you that what Madison and Jefferson did, as I looked at them after I had mapped this out, it just jumps out of the page. They're doing exactly what I did, but they just didn't have a name for it. They didn't have a flow chart. They didn't really spell out the process, because they understood that there was a political process involved, but I don't think, and I do know Madison and Jefferson understood the contract, and they understood contract law, that it was defined and so forth. But I don't think that because they didn't have the maturity of understanding auditing and the auditing process and using an audit as a tool, they kind of lacked that little bit of fidelity. But clearly, in Madison's Federalist Paper number 49, he talks about two specific conventions. One convention is for amending the deficiencies or amending the Constitution, period. And the other one is for dealing with, breaches or violations, encroachments. I mean, go look at it. He clearly calls out two types of conventions, one for making changes and one for enforcing. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's precisely what he's talking about, and that is the genesis or the beginning of this concept came from Jefferson's notes on the state of Virginia. I learned all this after I'd written my first book and came to this conclusion. So anyway, and actually, I knew about the resolutions, by the way, because it was the premise of nullification. Anybody out there telling you that those resolutions are about nullification, then they're lying to you, because they've never really read it and they don't understand it. But they're trying to tell you that they understand it and saying, oh, that's the principle of nullification. No. Read Resolution 8 in the Kentucky Resolution. Clearly, Jefferson is just saying, we're not going to recognize that law. He's clearly calling for the states to unite by setting up committees of correspondence and taking action against the federal government. Literally calling for a republic review. He just didn't have that understanding, and he didn't have the flow chart. But this guy was a genius. I mean, he surpasses me, because he was able to write about this out of his vacuum, where I had to do a lot of research to come up to this conclusion to this. But anyway, let me continue to move on. Let me grovel, as I always do. If you live in a red state, or if you live in a state that was red that just turned purple, like Florida almost did, or Nevada and Arizona, if you live in one of those states, by all means, contact me, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I will start working with you. You'll get my personal email address, and we will start helping you become a leader and become the constitutional crusader, as myself and the others that are involved in this process. We want you to be successful. We all need to be successful. That's one of the reasons why I provided how to create and, you know, become successful in setting goals and objectives. And so if you have the thirst of changing the outcome and direction of this country, because we don't have much time, if you haven't garnered yet, the way these kids are being indoctrinated, they're foaming at the mouth to take away our liberty and their liberty, because they truly believe that the state is more aptly prepared and best in dictating every facet of our lives. These kids, our kids, are the useful idiots of the Bolshevik Revolution of the 21st century, and we have to stop this. Before they actually become adults and actually have the legal standing to be able to stand up and say, we don't need a stinking constitution. We want a democracy, and we want it now. And I'm serious. That is the direction they're taking us. So what's it going to take for you to get involved? I tell you, by 2024, look at the demographics. Every 4 years, about 16 million kids is entering the electoral process. That means since 2016 to 2020, there will be 16 million kids added. So let's take a look at how the popular vote is going to go in 2016. And if you think we have an electoral process problem, it is going to be highlighted, and they're going to want to eliminate it very quickly after the 2020 election if Trump wins. We've got to go into some promos, but we'll be right back after this.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
So before the break, we were kind of, I was groveling. I need your help. And as you listen to this show and you listen to the content I throw out here, you will completely understand this is not just a half-cocked idea. This is a fully cocked idea. And if you can refute this, if you can find a constitutional professor or any heavyweight, then by all means, bring them forth. And we will have, you know, a civil discussion on the framers' intent, because when you start citing the actual words of the ratification debates, when you start citing our founding documents, there's really no, I mean, people can get into theory. That's why I kind of pointed out that Hamilton did not really state any true definitions. He got ambiguous into theory during the ratification debates. And in doing so, he wasn't articulating clear definitions. That's why when you contrast the New York ratification debates to the other ratification debates, you can clearly see that Hamilton had no intent in trying to clearly define the contract. As a lawyer, he understood the dangers of doing that. He wanted to make sure that there was enough ambiguity so that they would be able to start manipulating the limited and defined general government into a central, all-powerful government. And his proteges like John Marshall were critical in doing that and doing that work. But the evidence stands out. And maybe Hamilton wasn't aware. I mean, they couldn't fathom technology today. They couldn't fathom that we would have access to almost every word, every letter that they wrote, because, you know, Hamilton's wife and Madison's wife and all of these people, not just women, but all these people at the time, they understood what the heck happened. They understood that this was special and that they preserved these letters. They preserved these documents for us so that we would have access and be able to clarify all the details necessary in saving this Constitution in these days. There's no doubt that the divine hand of providence knew that we were going to be running into a ditch and going into the abyss. And there's no doubt in my mind that is why he gave us a constitution that was a contract, that was a hard, limited contract, excuse me, and that the definitions were clearly provided during the ratification debates, enough so and overwhelmingly so to protect us and to use these documents and these definitions, clarifications, elucidations, whatever you want to call them. We can use all of these arguments as a fulcrum in moving this republic back onto track. And that's what republic review is. That's what the audit process is. Audit process, republic review, synonymous. The audit is done by an individual state. When you have multiple states that are pulling together and uniting in the audit process as it would be done in a real contract, you would have all the stakeholders at the table and saying, hey, where did we give you the power to do this? It's not listed here in this contract. Do you have an amendment? Well, did you follow the Article 5 process? Oh, well, then you breached the contract. You assumed something and... Unfortunately, what you've been doing is all unconstitutional, and what we'll have to do is we'll have to dig the people up that did this 150 years ago and burn them in effigy. I mean, they used to have laws to do that, but I don't think we will do that, and I don't think there's a necessity in digging up all of these nefarious people like Hamilton and so forth, and ever since then, who have been working like John Marshall to undermine our constitutional republic. So I think it's time to just, fix things and move on and move forward and make the corrections necessary so that we do not go into the ditch again. And there are ways of doing that. And that's all in my book. My first book kind of covers these. It may not be perfect, but that's why the second book had some clarifications, elucidations, and corrections on my paradigm, because I was in the intelligence community, I was very sterile. I could not get really politically active. I was not a John Bircher. I was not a patriot, I should say, a Tea Party person. You couldn't. When you had clearances, you had to kind of stay apolitical. But I clearly, in understanding the documents, I understood exactly, where we were wrong and what needed to be done. Or for the most part, as good as possible, as good as the Lord saw fit, that I needed to know that. So the ways you can get involved, the ways you can start getting active is by doing research, phone calls, and so forth. I will help you with that. We've got a few people doing that. It's just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Another organization that I would highly recommend you join is the Constitution Club with Keith Broders. And if you go to constitutionclub.ning.com, That will take you there. And I think it's even on my website, on the Red State Talk Radio podcast page and important links. But if you go there, then you can sign up and get actively involved in your state and in your county. Because he on his website, he actually allows people to, you know, to self-identify so that they can start working together with other people. You know, counties are big spaces. There's a lot of people in counties, especially today as we've populated a lot more. There's a lot of people in some of these big counties, and you'd be surprised how many patriots are out there. And this is an excellent forum to be able to start ferreting through that and coming together. So anyway, I apologize. I'm belaboring all of this information, but get involved. There are ways you can get involved if you want to get involved. You can send us money on the crowdfunding on GoFundMe. We have that. We need your support. I ask that if you give me 1 gallon of gas a week, $2 a week, $4 a month. If you live in California, that'd be $5 a week, because that's about what they pay for gas. So anyway, but if you would just set aside 1 gallon of gas and contribute that to this cause, it would be more than enough. Everybody listening, if they would do that, that would be more than enough. On a monthly basis, you send us $8. That would be more than enough for us to actually acquire the stuff. And I'm going to be acquiring a media kit so that we don't have to travel so much, so the patriot groups, not necessarily parties and so forth, but small little patriot groups. Let's say you live out in Lincoln County, Nebraska, and you know the population of the county, maybe, I don't know, I'm just going to guess here, 25,000. And so, but you want to have this meeting with all the good patriots there and party members and all, you know, just pull together a meeting and get maybe 100 people together. Well, you may not be able to afford to help pay for the transportation to get all the way to Lincoln, Nebraska, but you may have the money to actually, you know, not money, but hopefully, if I have the support, we might be able to actually pay or ask that you share the cost of shipping a media device. All you'll need is the internet. We'll be able to do either a Zoom meeting, Skype meeting, whatever is best, so that we can connect and actually have almost a face-to-face. It's, you know, using virtuality, it is almost as good as being there. I would love to shake everybody's hands. I don't mind traveling, but let's keep the cost down. Madison and the framers would have done everything they possibly could to keep the cost and the burden off of the people. I do not want this to become a burden. This is just a temporary, if you want to call it a revolution, but it's really just a movement in taking back the Constitution. So anyway, thanks for listening. I appreciate it. And thanks for getting the word out regarding this radio show. There is, I defy somebody to provide me somebody that's providing this level of detail and content. I mean, here it is. This is what we have to do. And tell me I'm wrong. Anyway, as I always do, I look through the news. There is no sign that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. And yes, Trump did speak regarding the border security last night. I'm not going to get into that. We can talk about that, but it's just that is important, and maybe it's important in getting the government moving, but what is more important is getting organized and getting the states to stand up. Because the federal government will never disband any of its tyranny. They're insatiable. They're going to continue to grow and grow and grow. So let me dive forward. There's some things I kind of want to go over, but I for redundancy purposes, but I'm just going to kind of pass all of that because I realize I've only got two more segments left. So I'm going to pass my nicknames for Oso and everybody else and all the other things that I want to say. But yesterday I was covering the importance of an audit of the U.S. Constitution and the necessity of auditing the state constitutions. That's all a part of Republic Review. With that, I spoke of Washington State's two constitutions and what this means to the folks in Washington State and the problem that is perceived, even though everything is the status quo or business as usual. In understanding in Washington State, they've been functioning off of this Constitution for well over a century, and they've been validating it and shaping it via amendments over this century or century and a half, right? So what Washington State is dealing with is not the same problem as the U.S. Constitution, because they have not been following the Article 5 process every time they wanted to make a change. Now, there have been some usurpations in Washington State, but not as egregious as the federal government. And so, let me frame this for you. Constitutions in our republic are contracts, and it is actually more aptly stated that they're compacts, because the parties are multiple. There are multiple parties. It's not a two-way contract. And so the only way to solve contractual problems is the audit process. Now we have another hard break, but when we come back, I'm going to wrap this up and the problems that are being, you know, that are coming forward, and patriots or good citizens are becoming a part of the problem. We've got to stop this. We have to put aside our differences in these paradigms and recognize what we need to do in moving forward. So, my friends, we'll be right back after this, and hopefully we'll get into the Electoral College debate that is going on soon, too.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TALK-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So let me plunge forward real quick. So as I was just saying, the only really way to solve contractual problems is an audit process. But who performs the audit? You don't call in lawyers. You don't call in the court. You have to call in the stakeholders. You have to understand this is a contract. And the legal owners of the contract are called stakeholders. Well, so who are the stakeholders in a state constitution? Or who are the stakeholders in the U.S. Constitution? Do not make the mistake by following the style changes that have been made to the constitutions over time from we the people of, and then they started listing all of the sovereign states in the U.S. Constitution. What they did was they changed that to just we the people. But during the ratification debates on June 6, 1788, Madison was very clear. He says, who are the parties to it? We the people? No. It is we the people of the 13 sovereign states. So it is those who have the level of sovereignty in the sub-element of government within that contract. And in the U.S. contract, that would be the states. In a state contract, what sub-element of government exists that are sovereigns that have... So you got to understand who a sovereign is. A sovereign is a representative of the people who you have delegated delegated very specific powers and a level of sovereignty to. When I say sovereign, that doesn't mean the ultimate sovereign. I mean, obviously, God's an ultimate sovereign. We, the people, are ultimate sovereigns. But we actually have sovereigns that we elect that are supposed to protect us as a sub-element between us and that the sovereigns of that greater contract, such as the state constitution. And so the sub-element within the states are the counties. The counties are the ones that need to call for the constitutional convention of the state, or basically call to rewrite their constitutions if necessary. How many states need to have an audit and or a constitutional convention? Because the counties can clearly say, we want to audit the Constitution. And in doing so, they may want to then follow out and, you know, come out and say, you know what, as we've audited this, we think we need to completely rewrite the Constitution. So we want to call a constitutional convention. The beautiful thing about today is you don't have to travel to your stupid capital. We have virtuality to do these things. That's why I want to have media kits that will allow us to virtually reach out to any patriot organization. If you have an organization and we get these media kits created, then what we want to do is be able to send these things out to a responsible leader that way they can actually set up the meeting, have everything done, and then voila, you know, we'll have this face-to-face and everything come back to us. So in doing so, what we want to do is just make sure that we have the ability to communicate those things with you face-to-face and have the dynamic conversation. But getting back to, you know, this auditing process, it's the same thing. Having all of the counties online, the county commissioners or the delegates that are, so it should be delegates. It should not be the county commissioners, nor should it be the state legislators. If you look at the state ratification debates of the Constitution and other constitutional debates, it has never been the actual people who are elected. We actually find and create delegates, the smartest people we can. Sometimes it is a legislator or so forth, but what we want to do is send our best and brightest to have the conversations. That way, we can actually do it without having somebody involved that is self-serving, because Madison clearly pointed out in the Federalist Papers that there were those who were self-serving in trying to, you know, create the next constitutional convention. Okay. So with that, let me kind of move forward, because I want to get to the Electoral College and I, you know, don't have that much time left. And so, in the sovereign citizens movement, there's this concept of these sovereign citizens because of corporations, and they say, you know, we don't recognize this, even though their parents were citizens and subjects and so forth. There's a group of people that are trying to separate themselves. What is happening, and the reason this is happening is because federal tyranny is getting worse and worse, and people are getting desperate in doing anything and everything. That's why there's a bunch of people that want to call for an Article 5 convention over the U.S. Constitution, when that's the last thing we need to do. We need to enforce it first before we even consider changing it. An audit always has to come first if you've got breaches of the contract. And so this unconstitutional government is creating these desperate people in trying to go down these paths of desperation. Sovereign citizens is another path of desperation. These folks are taking an unconstitutional approach to solving this problem. And I want you to understand this. One has to completely deny our evolution of government in electing sovereigns and delegating them sovereignty and authority to do very specific things within these contracts. Okay, so I get it that they're violating these contracts, but the solution isn't punching out and saying, I'm sovereign, I don't have anything to do with this, and I'm not going to pay my taxes. That's not the process. The process is auditing that contract. And the reason why there are all these desperate people going in different directions is because they don't understand the simplicity of a contractual or constitutional government. We have defined very specific roles, responsibilities, and powers for these folks that are sovereigns. They can only do these things. So the real question is, We know that the federal government is violating the Constitution and exercising powers that they do not have. They have no constitutional authority over education, energy, justice. I mean, I can go on and on. There's 12 executive departments and a plethora of agencies and offices and so forth that are all unconstitutional. But we have the same problem in the states. Surely we have the same problem in the states because they have made assumptions and usurpations of county and or people's powers. And so what we have to do is we have to get into the details and into the auditing process. And so understanding how things were defined is really critical. That's why we have the founding documents. The founding documents being the ratification debates. As Madison pointed to, those ratification debates is how the Constitution was understood and defined at the time of its acceptance. That means that the ratification debates are legally binding. In the amendment process at the United States government, we actually have the records of how they actually breached, or how they, I shouldn't say breached, but how they discussed and argued and debated the amendments as they came forward, like the 14th Amendment. That's been a big issue lately with citizenship and so forth. And so you can go to the Congressional Globe, the Annals of Congress, or the Congressional Record. Those are three different archives of the different spans of time of the life of Congress. And you can actually research exactly how they defined what this meant for the amendments. That's the only way. It's not up to interpretation unless there is no definition. And so the courts have completely self-aggrandized themselves to say, well, we're going to be the deciders instead of going and saying clearly this was legally defined in the contract right here. There is no interpretation. This is what it is. And so therefore, this is unconstitutional. That's how simple this is, folks. You can't tell me that the divine hand of providence couldn't have made it more simple for us. And the fact is that we've got a lot of people in the legal field, and if you're a lawyer, sorry for insulting you, but your field has self-aggrandized itself to make it the only path and the only portal for people to be able to talk and just go, oh, this is a little too difficult for you. You have to understand constitutional law. There's no such thing as constitutional law. No such thing. The constitutions are contracts. You have a contract with your phone carrier, right? Verizon, right? Maybe AT&T. Those are two big ones. So have you ever heard of AT&T law or Verizon law? Constitutional law has been a self-aggrandized concept by lawyers to basically give themselves a barrier between the public to say, this is constitutional law. So do you understand that? I mean, you got to leave it to us because we know. That's not true. That is, excuse me, that is the antithesis of the simplicity of the contract. That is very specific why Madison wrote and why the framers wrote a contract that we would be a self-governing people, not a people dependent on a professional bar and association. So anyway, I could go on and on and on about all these little nuances and problems, but I need to get moving forward. So we can't have folks just checking out and basically, you know, saying we're not going to be a part of this because all they're doing is compounding the problem. What we need are contributors to a tangible solution, not more problems to say, oh, well, I guess this doesn't include you. What we need here, folks, are you folks who understand the peril of where we are, that we're literally in the ditch going into the abyss, and that our only solution is uniting, not checking out and running away. We all, that's capital all, A-L-L, that's all capitals, we all must demand adherence to our constitutions, state and U.S. government. Take a serious look at Jefferson and Madison's solutions as I've discovered them and as I've told them to you, the Kentucky Resolution and the Virginia Resolution of 1798. The academic organizations have basically labeled Jefferson 1798 as a draft that is a misnomer, that is a bad label. That was not a draft. That resolution was promulgated and sent out. Drafts are never sent out. Drafts are something. So if you want to see a draft, go read the draft of Thomas Jefferson's first, an unedited Declaration of Independence. That was a draft because it was never promulgated out to the people. They actually edited a lot of stuff out of it. And if you've never read it, you need to. We have to understand our founding documents and the real intent. And I've got a hard break, so I will be right back after a minute and or promotions. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So just before the break, I was inviting you to take a serious look at those resolutions by Jefferson and Madison of 1798 and the misnomer of the draft. The difference between my approach to theirs is granularity, fidelity, and those types of things. They did not have the maturity, as I have said before, they did not have the maturity of contract law in understanding how to drill into the definitions. They didn't understand desktop procedures, SOPs, those types of things. And so that's one of the reasons why they failed to write literally a desktop procedure and then put some emergency instructions. In case of emergency, break glass and read, those types of things. And so they kind of wanted it to be left up to the people, but they clearly defined it. And Madison clearly stated that the Constitution is not up for interpretation. It has to be viewed as it was understood during the time of ratification. He wrote that in a letter in 1821 to J.G. Jackson, in literally explaining to him why he refused to actually publish his notes on the Constitutional Convention, because he didn't want anybody to hear the arguments of what the delegates were saying. He said that people had to understand what the states heard and what the states accepted, because some of those things may have been a little bit different. And how they defined it, because how they defined it in getting the states to accept the Constitution was the legal binding definitions. You know, you could go off and plan, you know, details and conversations regarding a contract. But when you sit down and say, this is what this all means, then what you just said is all legally binding. Now, in the previous conversations, if, you know, in government cases, or I should say in contractual cases, if you knew that, well, you know, they're going to get this and this is going to blow up on them and people are going to die, but we don't want to tell them that, right? Because we need to get them to do this, right? Because it serves us better. Well, if there was a nefarious thing like that, then those types of things get drilled out, as well as so whoever sold or whoever's created the contract could be held liable for, you know, knowing those things. And the U.S. government, it goes after corporations all the time when they have emails that say, you knew there would be problems with some of this stuff that you told us you could do, and that you knew that you may not be able to deliver it. We're going to hold you legally bound to that. Well, so see, if the government can hold the contractors that they do contracts with to the letter of the contract, as well as to the details that were discussed in emails and so forth, I'm telling you, folks, we as the states have the power and authority to hold the federal government equally accountable to our contractor compact, the U.S. Constitution. So now let me get into the Electoral College. Getting just through all of that type of stuff so you can understand that some of these patriot movements are actually not patriot movements. They're actually a part of the distraction. This corporation, sovereign citizen, and a lot of these groups are, even though they have the most, you know, the noble intent, they are compounding the problem. That's why I went through this long diatribe, and I hope it was worth it. I hope it helped. The electoral process is definitely under scrutiny. There are two distinctive movements that are going on right now. I am going to tell you, and I do not have time today to get into the reading of the nuts and bolts of the Electoral College within the Constitution of the 12th Amendment. So we're going to do that tomorrow, because I'm looking, I've only got just a little over 5 minutes. So let me kind of talk and give you the macro view, excuse me, of these two distinctive movements. The first movement out there has been out there for a long time, and it is a progressive communist movement. What they're trying to do, and if you understood what Hitler was confronting when he took power, he mentions this in his book Mein Kampf, that the first thing he needed to do, and this was about the soft sell job, for him and for the government, the central government, because most people did not know this, Germany was a republic. Did you know that? Most people thought it was just kind of a centralized government democracy. No, it was actually a republic when Hitler was arising to power, when and before that. And so Hitler talked in his book Mein Kampf about the necessity of dissolving the German Republic so that he could centralize all the powers. And he promised that he was going to nationalize and do all of these great things. Well, they did. They actually gave him what he wanted. They dissolved the republic so that he could nationalize healthcare. He nationalized religion. He nationalized everything. He was a statist. He was a communist. If you want to say he was, patty cake around and play around here. They were right up front telling people that they were the Socialist Party. And so I've read a really fascinating book, and I'm sorry for the aside here, but one of the interesting things and analysis that I heard was that Britain and the Soviet Union, as well as the United States, the lead, because they were all a part of the deep state, you know, promoting communism and so forth, FDR and all of that. They were literally upset that here was Germany successfully getting away with nationalizing without having a revolution, without having to do all sorts of, you know, things that they thought that they had to do. And I mean, the machine he was putting together was really, you know, a formidable machine, especially when it started taking everybody's property. And what I mean by that is dissolving states and making it a part of his state. And I think one of my favorite metaphors is when Mel Brooks, I forget the movie, but he's, you know, he was playing as Hitler, and he said, I just want peace. You know, we're not looking for, you know, anything bad. We want peace. And he goes, I want a little piece of Austria, a little piece of France, a little, and he wants pieces. Anyway, let me move on. So the popular vote out there is literally trying to dissolve the republic. That's why I went down this little aside on Hitler. they understood that the sovereignty was, most of the sovereignty within a republic is retained out by the states. And he understood that if he could dissolve the state sovereignty and actually nationalize everything and centralize everything into one, he had just literally created a communist government. And a popular vote is doing exactly that. You got to understand that the Constitution and even state constitutions require that we be a Republican form of government. Keith Broders, in our conversations about the Republican form of government, I mean, you know, he was the one that said, hey, I honestly, you know, he throws out the idea and he purports that governors should not be directly elected because governors are not representatives. If you understand a Republican form of government, the basic definition is a representative form of government. In America, it is the sovereign's representation. And so that's why the Senate is supposed to represent the sovereigns of the states and that the House is supposed to represent the people. Unfortunately, the states have completely lost their representation, and the Senate has completely turned their back on their obligation. The 17th Amendment did not change who they represented. It only changed the process in selecting them. So there was no difference in changing the intent, but Wilson knew in throwing the 17th Amendment out that by getting them to actually have the people elect them, then that's who they would cater to. But the real people that get them elected are the globalists, and those are the people they truly cater to, which is why the Senate is the most corrupt body. Understanding the popular vote movement, what they want to do is they want to move us into a direct democracy and not a Republican form of government or representation. We're supposed to choose electors as our representatives in choosing who would be best in faithfully executing the laws. Not, if you look at the president and the governor's jobs, they are not representatives of the people. They're supposed to faithfully execute the laws, and they're supposed to be a separation from the representatives of the people as a check and balance to ensure that the people aren't going to do harm to themselves, like what happened in France, and say, you know, we want to, you know, take all of this to feed us now. They made all sorts of mistakes, and in revolutions and in pure democracies, that's why, you know, they constantly teeter back and forth between despotism and anarchy. Despotism and anarchy, because when things go awry, then the people start voting for anything and everything, and then they finally select a leader, then that becomes a despot. And so anyway, the framers completely understood the evils and the dangers of a popular vote, which is why they constitutionally drilled it in. The most important thing you have to understand before I get into the contrary view tomorrow is that In the popular vote process, that is who is supposed to represent you. But in the electoral process, they are the ones that are actually selecting who would be most apt to follow and execute the laws per the Constitution. The Electoral College has a huge responsibility, and we have completely watered it down. And just let me close on this. It was so sacred and so, you know, protected that when they made changes to the electoral process, they actually amended the Constitution to clearly define how it was to be followed in, you know, in the days to come. They did not use statutes or regulations. That would have been a violation of the Constitution, and that's why we're violating the Constitution of how we're exercising the Electoral College today. I'll have more on this tomorrow. God bless, and we'll be back tomorrow.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review, so please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty